You know, we are in the, is this the second? No, this is the third week of our new series, The Other Side. And it's going pretty interesting so far. The first week we talked about angels. Second week we talked about demons. Now we're on to this week. And we're talking about something a little different. We're talking about psychics, astrologers, you know, all those weird things, Ouija boards. Like, what is this stuff? You know, is this okay with God? Is this stuff real? Is it just a fraud? What's going on? When my mom, before she was a Christian, she had gotten married, and she had a friend named Rick who was a palm reader, and she let Rick read her palms, and she was he was reading her palms, and he told her something that kind of messed with her a little bit. He told her that she was going to get remarried before she had kids. And she kind of laughed. She said, "No, look, I would never get divorced, so you're just crazy." And the guy said, "Well, your palm didn't say whether it was divorce or death." And then she went, "Oh, that's not a very good thing to be told, is it?" So she was married, and she was not getting along with this guy. And she became a Christian, and things got even worse for a little bit. And she was going, "What is going on?" And then over and over again, she'd remember that this guy had told her that something would happen. She would get divorced, her husband would die, she would get remarried before she had kids. And so she went to one of the pastors at the church she worked, or at the church she attended, and she told him this and asked him what she should do. And he related this story to her. His name was Keith. And he said that when he was a youth pastor, and he went to a college at one point to go just do some studies, some prep work, some stuff like that. And while he was there doing this work, there was some other people down the hall. They were laughing, having a good time. Someone came and said, "Hey, Keith, you got to check this thing out." And I mean, he's there doing youth work. He's a youth pastor. He doesn't know what's going on. He goes down there, and they're messing with a Ouija board. Now, some of you have probably seen Ouija boards before. I don't know. But they're messing with this Ouija board, and they're asking it questions, and it moves around, and it's answering their questions. Well, this thing just starts, I don't know, Keith feels this really uncomfortable feeling, and he goes back to his room, and he starts to pray. He's like, "God, I pray that you just, there's just something wrong there, God, just stop that, whatever's going on." Well, the interesting thing is the Ouija board started messing up. It was giving wrong answers. It wasn't making any sense. And then they asked it, "What's wrong? Why won't you work?" And it spelled out "van." And they're like, "Van, okay, great." What nobody knew was that Keith's first name was Van. He had prayed, and the Ouija board stopped working. He related the story to my mom, because he wanted her to understand that our God is more powerful than any spiritual palm reading. It's more powerful than any Ouija board. And that she didn't have to be afraid of this palm reading she had gotten that had given her some really bad news. And eventually she got some really good news, because she got pregnant with me, with the same guy. And I'm right now proof, this is cool, my existence is proof that that palm reader was wrong, okay? Because she had a child in her first marriage. She's still married to the guy. It's been like 120 years. So it's, you know, and their marriage is going really well. You know, and so this is really a pretty cool thing. But the question remains, you know, okay, so what is this stuff real? Like, what if she hadn't become a Christian? What if she gotten divorced? Or what if that my dad died? Or what would have happened? And what about the Ouija board? Why was it given right answers until they prayed against it? Well, grab your Bibles, people. We're going to go to... That sounds really weird. People, grab your Bibles. How about this? Grab your Bibles, friends. That's a little better. To page 220, all right? We're going to look up 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 to 20. This is a story that is a little disturbing. It's a little weird and certainly strange. We're going to study it. Page 220. All right, chapter 28, verses 3 to 20. Samuel, all right, just so you know, Samuel was a prophet, okay? He was a prophet to this king named Saul. So we start reading. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul, the king, had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. A medium contacts dead. The Philistines assembled and came up and set up at Shunem, while Saul was gathering all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then went to his attendants. Find me a woman who's a medium, so I may go inquire of her. There's one in Endor, they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes. You know, he disguised himself because he'd already outlawed mediums. And at night, he and two men went to the woman. Consult the spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one I name. But the woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done. He's cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death? Saul swore to her by the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. And then the woman asked, whom shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel, he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You're a Saul. The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? The woman said, I see a spirit coming up out of the ground. What does he look like? He asked. An old man wearing a robe is coming up, she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself, his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? I am in great distress, Saul said. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams, so I've called on you to tell me what to do. Samuel said, why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn your kingdom out of your hands and given it to your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord to carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand you both over both Israel and you to the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Oh, that's not good. The Lord will also hand over the army of the Israel to the Philistines. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and night. What the heck is going on? So King Saul, this king of Israel, is scared because he's in war. And so he goes and consults a medium, and they bring up the spirit of Samuel, a prophet. And Sam, and I mean, it really was the prophet. So what is going on here? Well, we're gonna check this out, but let me give you some miscellaneous facts about spiritists, about Ouija boards, about occult things. Okay, all this stuff. I just want to give you a few miscellaneous facts, and then we're gonna jump into this, because what we want to do is make sure that we interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. What this means is when we have something in the Bible that's hard to understand, we don't just take our own understanding and go, well, I think it means this. No, I think it means this. Okay, we're all right. What we do is we find a part of Scripture that's easy to understand and say, okay, now that we know this, what is the more difficult part say? Let's apply the easy parts to the hard part and figure that out. And so that's what we're going to do. And some of the easy parts are listed on your outlines there, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Number one, we're going to go through these really fast, so hold on. Number one, miscellaneous facts. Dead humans are not ghosts. If you've seen a ghost, if you've contacted a medium, you've not talked to a human. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not sight. We are confident, I say, we would prefer to be away from the body at home with the Lord. See what's happening here? See, the scripture tells us very clearly. There's two places you can be, in the body or with the Lord, right? This scripture precludes the possibility that you as a spirit could come walking around, hanging out as a spirit on earth. You're either in your body alive or you're dead and with the Lord if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then you're not with the Lord, but you're certainly not walking around on earth. Number two, once you die, only God can bring you back. This is Luke 16. Between us, and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us, all right? This is someone talking about crossing over from the real world to the spiritual world. Plain and simple, if you die, the only way you're coming back is if God brings you back. Clear enough? Okay, number three, it is impossible to contact the dead. Luke 16, again, the same verse, you know. A great chasm has been fixed. It's impossible to go from one to another. And we're going to answer the question, well, what's really going on with these things? Because I'll tell you, there is something crazy going on, okay? But let's finish out these easy-to-understand things first. Number four, most often, and here it is, real encounters with spirits are demonic in nature, and we should not be involved. Acts 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God! We're telling you the way to be saved!" She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her!" At that moment, the spirit left her. Okay, so here we have a clear example. I could have chosen 100 different examples. That when you deal with spirits, when you deal with fortune telling, when you deal with anything like this, it's demonic, okay? It's not some dead person coming up telling you something. It's not someone from the future coming back in time, although that'd be really cool. It's demonic in nature. Demons are doing these things, all right? Now, this is how do we take the thing about Saul and Samuel and the prophet rising? Because these things are interesting, right? I mean, if we can't come back from the dead, you know, there's that great chasm. If the only way to come back from the dead is God, and if you know, we see people that are ghosts and we know they're not really people. I mean, these are some of the clear things that we see going on. What is going on in this story? Did a medium really bring up a prophet here? Now, there's a lot of different ways to translate these things, but I want you to understand something. If you grab that Bible, turn back to that page, 220. Look at verse, where is that? where she screamed. There we go. Verse 12. Bring up Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." Okay, look on your outlines. First thing we put on our outlines. When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed in fear. Okay? This is the very first thing we have to understand about this experience with the medium. There's a lot of different ways to translate this Hebrew. In Hebrew, they don't have the same sentence structure as we do, so it gets kind of complicated, but there's two different thoughts here. Thought number one, she screamed in fear. Thought number two, she says, "Why did you lie to me? You are Saul the king." So what we have happening is this medium, this lady who for a job contacts the dead, sees a dead spirit, and what does she do? Ah! You think she did that every time? Like, why are you scared? Oh, that's just what I do. No. She was scared when she saw the spirit for a very clear reason. She was not used to seeing spirits, right? So this is something unusual. And then the second thing, she puts it together. She says, "You're Saul." How does she put it together? Because if you look at those other verses there, it says in verse 4, "The Philistines assembled, came up, set up at Shunem. Saul gathered there with the Israelites at Gilboa." Okay, so Saul, a king, comes with his entire army into the city of Gilboa. She was in the city of Endor. They are 7 miles away from each other. If President Obama brought the entire United States Army and camped 7 miles away from Salina, would we know it? Yeah. We'd be like, holy crap, what's going on, right? We'd be a little worried. Now, she knows what's going on. She knows that the king is there. She knows that the army's there. And all of a sudden, she realizes, wait a minute, I know this Samuel he's talking about, because everybody knew that Samuel was a prophet to King Saul. And so she sees Samuel. She realizes the king's only 7 miles away, and kings travel with entourages, right? He didn't come in the middle of the night. He came with his buddies. So this cloak guy with a bunch of bodyguards comes in the middle of the night calling on the king's prophet when the king is only 7 miles away. She goes, uh-oh, you lied to me. You are Saul. It'd be pretty easy to put that together, wouldn't it? And so we have two different thoughts here. She sees a real spirit, and she freaks out, and then she realizes it's King Saul. Now, look at verse 13. This is pretty interesting. The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground." All right, this word that's translated spirit, it's really not a very good translation. As a matter of fact, I think these Bibles even have a little mark after that, does it? Yeah, thank you. It says, "See spirits or gods." And that's on your outline there. The Hebrew word that's translated spirit literally means multiple gods. I think the translators translated it spirit because they're like, well, there's no such thing as multiple gods, so we'll translate it spirit. But she has now, something happened. The spirit world opened up. She sees all these things going around. She's like, I see multiple gods, these spiritual beings, and she is scared to death. Really, there wasn't gods there, but she just didn't understand what she was seeing. This woman is obviously a fraud, isn't she? And when something real happens, she doesn't know what to do. And so Samuel comes up. This lady's totally freaked out because she's not used to doing anything for real. And then look at verse 15. Samuel, the prophet who was raised from the dead there for temporarily, said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" That's interesting, isn't it? Samuel doesn't look at the medium and say, "Why did you bring me up?" He looks at Saul. Why? Because the medium didn't have anything to do with it. You realize that? This was a doing of God. Very clearly. We looked at the very simple facts, and we know fact number two, once you die, only God can bring you back, right? If you look at the story, if you take that very clear fact, we know something very clear. God allowed Samuel to come back for a temporary moment, basically to tell Saul, leave God alone. That was the reason. Now, I had to point that out because that's like the craziest story in the Bible, so I wanted to get that out of the way. Look, the point here is that a lot of the ghost phenomenon is experience-based. It's not really based on people who are real mediums or real psychics. A lot of these people have experiences, and they think, oh, this must have been a psychic experience. Now, if we're going to make claims about psychic experiences, we need to back those up with facts, right? We're going to get into this. You've probably heard of a lady named Sylvia Brown. No, don't laugh. Yet. We have a little video here of Sylvia Brown showing just how good she is. Can we roll that?
Please welcome Michael to the show. Michael.
My name is wife, Kathy. You had a question for Sylvia about your daughter, Michelle?
My daughter, Michelle, was 17 years old. She'll be gone 5 years, the 21st of this year. Sylvia, I don't know how she died. Please, if you can, how did she die?
She was shot.
Circumstances around her death?
She just collapsed in her room.
I don't know, but something looks like it hit the chest. Because it looks like a combustion.
They found nothing on the autopsy.
I don't care,
nothing.
But it looks like something hit her in the chest.
Right. They did an autopsy. They did drugs. You know, they do whatever
everything.
They do. It's just she was a healthy child, and
she was in her.
Just fell out in her
just
room.
Just went out
like a golf club's fall or whatever.
I know. Just went down.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there was something that hit her in the chest. I'm telling you.
Whoops. How did our child die? Oh, she was shot. She collapsed in her room. Oh, I mean, she was hit in the chest. They did an autopsy. They didn't find anything. Well, I'm telling you, something to do with the chest region. Like, and the video goes on. And she moves all the way from she was shot to it was something in her chest to maybe a heart attack. Oh, it wasn't a heart attack. Maybe she had this blood disease. Like, I mean, she, it just goes on and on. And she keeps getting wrong. And these parents are like, oh, but we believe you. Like, at what point do you say, I'm sorry, shut up. you're wrong. I mean, you know, I couldn't help it. So I got out these other predictions Sylvia has made. Sylvia Brown's predictions for 2004. She predicted our American troops will be pulled out of Iraq by June or July 2004. Okay. Whoops. She predicted that Osama bin Laden will be dead as a doornail in 2004. This is my favorite. She predicted Martha Stewart will not go to jail. Oh, yeah. For 2005, this isn't her. This is just miscellaneous other psychics. They predicted that Saddam Hussein would be assassinated in 2005. Okay. They predicted that a public election in Iraq will result in the U.S. pulling out by 2005. Sorry. A massive earthquake will occur in the southwest U.S. in 2005. Anybody remember that one? I don't remember. Maybe it probably happened, though. And here's my second favorite. They predicted the Giants will win the series against Cleveland in Game 7, 2005. Reality, in games 2005, the Chicago White Sox beat the Houston Astros in game 4. And the Giants, this was their least successful season since moving into the new stadium, so they were way off there. And they also said Cleveland was going to be in it, but Cleveland didn't even make the playoffs. They lost 6 of their last 7 games. So, you know, let's just be honest, okay? Let's look at your outlines there. Most psychics are frauds that make false predictions and fish for information. You know, they just, oh, I'm sensing something round. You have something, I have a ring. Yes, it's the ring. You know, they just fish for information. And if you watch and pay attention, critique it, you'll start to realize these things. They're really good guessers. They're professional guessers, most of them. And so the question is, why are they so accurate on their television shows? Like Jonathan Edwards, you ever seen his show Crossing Over? Like, that guy's really accurate sometimes. Did you know that for every half-hour episode of Crossing Over, you know how much taping they do? 6 hours. If I stood here and guessed stuff about you for 6 hours, do you think we could come up with 30 minutes of stuff that I got right with commercials? Probably. Probably more. I should probably get into that business. You know, I'd probably be really good at it. I'm sensing someone out here was mad this week. Yep, I knew it. Man, that'll be $700. But here's the deal. It's not always a fraud. It isn't. Sometimes it's very real. Sometimes it's demons. Now, I'm going to put these verses up on the screen. If you'd look with me at 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. This verse is pretty clear, isn't it? Some people are following things taught by demons. Now, I'm not like one of these woo guys, okay? It's not like I really get into this stuff. But the reality is, this is what the Bible says. Look on your outlines. Sometimes these people are not frauds, but are actually contacting and working with demons. And even though they may not realize it, I honestly believe most of these people who aren't frauds are genuine. They really believe they're contacting good spirits. They really believe they're contacting people from the dead. And they don't even realize the danger they're in. They're talking to demons. This is not a healthy practice, is it? Demons are not something you'd want to mess around with. We know that, especially from last week. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14. It's talking about people who work with demons. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You know, I did a bunch of research for this, and a lot of the people who are spiritualists, a lot of the people who are psychics, when they contact spiritual beings, they say, I try to stay away from dark ones, but when I find a spirit that cloaks himself in light, then I invite him in. Sounds good, but what does the Bible say? Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So just because you think you're contacting a spiritual being that's cloaked in light and beauty does not mean it's safe. As a matter of fact, it's probably the worst idea yet. You know, most of these psychics, they realize that there are very real dangers in these things. A psychic, Cher Margolis, says this. There are energies and spirits out there that do not wish us well and want to trick us. In some ways, I believe using psychic tools like Ouija boards can be as dangerous for kids as taking drugs. This is a lady that does this for her job, and she is telling you how dangerous it is. Dale Kaczmarek, who's a paranormal investigator, he says, many violent, negative, and potentially dangerous conditions are present to those using the board. Look, if the psychics, if the mediums, if the paranormal people themselves admit freely, sometimes there are really dangerous things involved, don't you think we should wake up and realize that? I mean, if they know it's dangerous, we should, as Christians, as people who read the Word of God, especially know how dangerous it is. The word occult is what all these things, occultic practices. It's not cult, okay? It's occultic. These are things like, you know, psychics, mediums, divination, necromancy, things like this. These all fall under the term occultic, okay? Now, occult is from the Latin word meaning, occultus, which literally means hidden or secret. It's hidden or secret because this type of thing is a special secret hidden knowledge they talk about. The psychics say that they have connected to something very special, right? They've connected to something on a different level than we connect with. This is what they're talking about. And if you ever have seen any of their things on Montel or any of their shows, you know, they talk about reaching a different level, a different understanding. They have a deeper connection. It's this hidden knowledge. Now, this is something, this is a theological view, okay? Look on your outlines. The psychic view of Bible and of God is this: esotericism. Esotericism, if you look, I'll let you spell that, E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C-I-S-M. This is a theological, philosophical concept, okay? Dictionary.com defines it this way: esoteric, understood by or meant for only a select few who have special knowledge or interest. Okay? So their idea of God, their idea of the Bible, falls under this category of not everybody gets it. Most people can get it, but not everybody does. It's a special knowledge. It's a hidden knowledge. If you can reach that extra plane, you can find those spirits, then you should do that because it's a special hidden secret thing. But guess what? Over 2,000 years ago, there was a theology just like this. Look on your outlines again. About 2,000 years ago, there was false teachers called Gnostics who believed in secret knowledge. One of the ideas of these Gnostics was that there was an inner circle of knowledge. And the further in you got, the more knowledge you got, the deeper knowledge you got, and the more the masses couldn't understand it because you have reached a higher spiritual plane. You have gotten to a level of understanding that no one else can understand. And so this is really what's going on. The psychics, the mediums, these people are really Gnostics, the same type of ideas that we had 2,000 years ago, except instead of doing the things they did 2,000 years ago, now they're trying to contact spirits and contacting demons instead. You know what the Bible says about these things, though? Peter, who is the leader apostle, the head of it all, he wrote about these guys called the Gnostics. He had something very important to say. Grab your Bibles, open up to page 903. Peter is writing here. And you got to keep in mind, when he writes this letter, he knows that there are these people around who are saying there's a special knowledge, a secret knowledge that you can only attain through certain areas, just like the mediums and psychics do today. So if you look at page 903, we start at verse 1, chapter 1, or chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All right, on our outlines, keep that page open there. On our outlines, we're going to look at 2 Peter 1:1. It says this: our faith and ability to know God is just as great and just as precious as the founders of Christianity. It's not a secret society. Let's look at verse 1 again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith, listen, as precious as ours. This is a founder of Christianity. This was Jesus' number one disciple. And you know what he's saying? You have a faith, and your faith is just as precious as mine. Does that sound like a secret society? No, it sounds like someone saying, look, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you are too. This is not a secret. This is nothing strange or weird. Look at this psychic, Van Prague. This is what he says about how to contact people. He says, it's like a radio station. I actually will tune into you, if you will, a certain energy, a frequency of the person's voice. I'm hearing their voice. And see, feel how he's talking about like this, you know, other level, you know, and by hearing that voice, I receive impressions. Sometimes it's a scene of something. Sometimes it's a feeling of something. And I get words in front of me. Get words in front of you. That's neat. But I got a whole bunch of words in front of me, right? The Bible. And I don't have to like tune in Tokyo to figure it out, right? I should never reference that again in a sermon. Look at what the Bible says there. 2 Peter, verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through what? Through secret knowledge? Through special clubs, through divination? No. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do you get this grace and peace and knowledge? Not by secret societies, not by reaching some spiritual plane, but by knowing God and knowing Jesus. It's so clear. Emotional experiences, you know, anxiety and these things, I mean, they get us up and they get us down. And you know, if we just use our emotions to try to grasp truth about God, we're going to miss things all the time. You know, spiritual things mess with our emotions. They really do. And I got to tell you, I was getting ready for this sermon. And whenever we talk about stuff like this, seriously, and I'm just being honest, I think, whenever we talk about things like this, I just get attacked like crazy by Satan. This week, man, I was just depressed. You can ask my wife. I was just upset this week. I was mean to her, wasn't I? I'm sorry. I was just a meanie this week, you know? She'd be like, I love you. And I'm like, I just grumpy and depressed. And, you know, what should we trust? Should we trust those types of feelings? Or should we trust the Word of God? I mean, it's pretty clear to me, if I were to trust my feelings, my life would not turn out very well, right? My marriage would not be happy. But if I were to trust what the Word of God teaches me to do, then, you know what? That's a good way to do things. Levi Clark, an intern here at the church right now, he was working on the sermon this week with me. And, you know, he's the intern, so I make him do most of the work. And I'd given him a book to read over the weekend. And he came back, and we were getting ready to talk over the book and stuff. And it was the craziest thing. He had told me, and you know, we hadn't even talked about how we were both having cruddy weeks. He just came in and he's like, man, I've been having crazy anxiety for no reason at all. Isn't that weird? For no reason. Not only that, he had an overwhelming desire to get in his car, drive away, and never come back. Is that normal? Oh, not even for Levi, okay? Like, I mean, this is weird, okay? He wrote a check, and it bounced even though money was in the bank. Like, just all these weird things were going on. And then the guy, he had taken copious amount of notes so we could go over the sermon stuff. He comes in here. He had it on two computers, and it was gone off both computers. Like, the new thing, it was just gone. Couldn't find it. And he's like, Jeff, my notes are totally gone about this psychic stuff. And I was like, whatever, stupid intern. I'll go find it. You know, I sit down at the computer. I'm looking, and I'm like, dude, the entire history of all your files is gone. He's like, yeah, what's up now, pasta? And just like... And so here's the question. I mean, should he trust those feelings and say, wow, maybe this is, you know, something I shouldn't do? Or should he say, you know what? I'm learning what the Bible says about these things, and I want to trust the Bible over my experiences. That's what we always got to do, isn't it? We always got to trust the Word of God over our experiences. No matter how many fuzzy experiences we want to have, we don't trust the esoteric, the spiritual, the secret society. We trust what's real, the Word of God. Acts 19, this is really a pretty cool verse. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. 50,000 drachmas, you know how much that is? A drachma is a day's wages. You know how much that equals? 137 years worth of salary. That's how much they burned in their scrolls and divination texts. Why? Because they realized very clearly, like it says in the verse, it was the word of God. They burnt those things, and then verse 20 says, in this way, the word of the Lord spread. You can either choose the word of the Lord, or you can choose sorcery, spiritualist things like this, but they cannot go together. It's one or the other. Even though the spiritualists, the psychics will try to tell you that they do things in a Christian way, we follow light. We are reminded that Satan cloaks himself in light, doesn't he? It's one or the other. So, look on your outlines again. We're going to jump into back into the 2 Peter, the verses 3 and 4. The outline says this: we participate in the divine nature, not by esoteric experiences, but by understanding the Word of God and His promises. We participate in the divine nature, not by esoteric experiences, but by understanding the Word of God and His promises. All right, look at 1 Peter. Look at verse 3 to 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. He's given us everything we need through what? Our knowledge of Him. And then verse 4. Through these, the knowledge, the glory, through these, He's given us very great and precious promises, so that through those promises found in the Word of God, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is fascinating. Paul's saying, look, or Peter's saying, look, there's no secret society. There's no esoteric secret experience. You can't go into a secret temple, find a secret room, go on top of the building, and like have secret meetings with secret information and know something better than everyone else. The reality is found in the Bible, a book that you can buy in any bookstore in any city in America. It's accessible to you. It's accessible to me. It's accessible to the psychics, to the witches, anyone. The truth is found in the Bible. We experience God by reading His Word. That's how we find divine power. That's how we have spiritual experience, in the knowledge of God. Now we're going to take questions, and then we're going to wrap it up. So what's the first question we got? If people don't walk after they die, how can other people see them? Or are they ghosts or something else, such as angels or demons? They're demons. If, you know, I think... A lot of times, I got two things to this, okay? So the question is kind of like, okay, so what's going on if you're in a house, you know, and a candle floats by, like on Scooby-Doo, you know? Like it just kind of floats by and you hear someone go, roar, you know, your weird noises, and what do? Besides call Ghostbusters. You realize that this is not a human, and two things are happening, one of two things. Either, one, it's a demon that's doing some messed up stuff, or two, which is, I think, the more common experience, you have been prepped psychologically to believe things are happening that aren't really happening, okay? There weren't nearly as many ghost stories and things like that a couple hundred years ago. Why? Because people didn't care about it. They didn't talk about it. Now we've got TV shows like Crossing Over. We got guys like Montel Williams bringing the psychics on. We tell ghost stories at Halloween. And we've got this culture of ghosts and things like that. So when we're laying in bed in the dark and we hear a wind go, and we see a light flicker, we're like, holy crap, there's a ghost in my house! You know? When reality was, like, someone was just going to the fridge and was like, woo! I turn on the light, you know? I mean, we're just like... Oh, that was gross. Yeah, we've been prepped psychologically to believe certain things, right? And we all know that's true. I mean, we know that, you know, when our kids sees monsters in the closet, we all know there's not really a monster in the closet, you know, 97% of the time. I mean, 3% there is a monster that will kill the children, so be careful, kids. But, you know... But the psychological thing is really powerful. So, you know, so it's one of those two things. All right, next question. Do people, like the magician Chris Angel, invite demons into themselves so that they are able to do strange, unnormal things like levitate? Chris Angel, I've seen a couple of his things on YouTube. I can't speak specifically to Chris Angel or anyone like that. Although, you know, I'm pretty sure guys like Chris Angel and those guys are just really good David Copperfield type people. And actually, remember Harry Houdini? He was like the master of this stuff. I had a quote from him. I wasn't going to bring in the sermon, but it's essentially what he says is, I want to believe in real magic. I want to believe in spiritualists. I want to believe that people really hover and levitate. But the fact is, I'm Harry Houdini. I know all the tricks. No one's doing it for real. I wish it were true, but it's not. That's what Harry Houdini himself said. So I think the fact is most of these guys are just really good magicians. Now, there are probably a few people here and there that are involved in demonic things, and that's where we have to be really careful. You know, if people start trying to teach things, like if Chris Angel got up and started trying to teach a spiritual class, you know, or something like that, I'd say we better shut his program off. But if he's just walking across a pool, you know, that's pretty neat, and I wish I could knock him over. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we got. All right, let's do one more question. Let's just do one more. What about star prediction? Isn't that how they found how the wise men found Jesus? Oh, well, a good question. Okay. This is really two different parts. What about star predictions, like astrology? And then what was up with the wise men who found Jesus? Astrology is one of these things that we shouldn't get involved in. God himself says in the Bible that we're not supposed to get involved in it. Can they find things that are true in it? I have a very hard time believing that the stars reveal truth. What I'm more inclined to believe in, now this is just my opinion here, I'm more inclined to believe that those people are influenced by demons. They think they see things in the stars. The demons are really influencing them in a certain way, okay? Now, so that's stuff that we don't want to mess with, okay? Predicting the future, all that stuff we don't want to mess with. But, like, what about the wise men that found Jesus? Because there were, you know, some people who were out in the field and they saw a star and... They followed it all the way to Jesus. Let's see here. I looked up the wrong one. Looked up the shepherds. Oh, well, nevertheless, what's going on with this is there's a couple different possibilities. The first thing we have to note, remember, we always take scripture in light of scripture, the easy to understand in light of the difficult to understand. We know that God has told people not to, you know, foresee the future by the stars. So were these people really foreseeing the future by the stars? Or was this another thing, kind of like with the prophet Samuel? Was this like a God thing? Did God do something extraordinary? I think it's obvious God did something extraordinary. And I think what's interesting to note is that the star wasn't, they didn't look at the sky, they didn't actually do astrology and say, oh, look, the stars say there will be a child over here. There was a bright star in the sky that these guys followed all the way to Bethlehem where Jesus was at. So I think it's more likely that God had given these guys a message. They had studied the scriptures. They knew what to expect. And then God informed them, you follow this star and you're going to end up, and it was maybe a meteor or a comet. I don't know what it was, but somehow Aurora Borealis, you know, I don't know what it was, but somehow God brought them to Bethlehem. So I don't think it was astrology like we think about it. I think real astrology is demonic and we shouldn't get involved in it. So, you know, just to close, I think what we should understand from tonight is that when trying to find truth, we don't look to the stars, we don't look to astrology, we don't look to esoteric experiences, psychics, nothing like that, because those things are very demonic in nature. And we don't want to mess with that. When we want to experience the spiritual, we turn to the Word of God, okay? We turn to the Bible because this is where truth is. When those spiritists say, I can get words in front of me, that's great, but we have got more words than you could read in a year right in front of you, don't we? It took me 3 years to read the Bible through when I tried to do it for the first time. We got plenty of words in front of us. So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that this next week, we get into the Bible hardcore. Like, I mean, we read either copious amounts of it or we think about it during the day a lot. That's something you think you're willing to do? To say, you know what? I'm not going to try to experience life by my emotions or by spiritual things. I'm going to experience life by the Word of God. That's something we can do? What I'm willing to do, if you guys want it, I'm willing to, for this next week, to post something up on YouTube or Facebook, just a small devotional on video, picking certain sections of Scripture. And if this is something you guys want, I'll do it. I'll just, you know, crack open a section of Scripture. I'll talk about it, give you guys a challenge, a way to read it, understand it for yourselves, let you guys spend some time in it by yourselves, too. If that's something you want, I'll do it. If we're not going to use it, I'm not going to waste my time with it. So let's just be honest. You know, if you think you would use that, let me just see your hand really quick. And okay, I'll go ahead and do that this week. I'll just go ahead and make a mini devotional on video for this 1 week, and I'll start it. We'll say, here's the section of Scripture you're going to read. You read it, you start the video, and then we'll talk about it. We're going to do that this week so that we can get into the Word of God instead of crazy esoteric experiences, all right? Because that's real spiritual power. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you and thank you that you bring us real power and real truth. Help us to know you better, Lord, not with crazy experiences, but through your word. I pray that you would reveal it to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.